Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:10 British Summer Time. Today is September 4th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But first, let's have a review of what's been happening this week. And if one thing could characterize this week, it's been the tendency of politicians and central bankers of every hue falling over themselves to reassure investors that stimulus will not be withdrawn too quickly. It started out the week with the FOMC minutes. Timothy Geithner had something to say, as did Mervyn King and Jean-Claude Trichet at their respective meetings. And we see today at the G20 meeting that a swathe of politicians and foreign ministers are talking about the need to leave the stimulus in the market for a longer period of time. So this has had a marked effect on the way markets unfolded over the last 5 days. At the beginning of the week, we saw that the dollar got considerably firmer and posted an upward dynamic and then spent the rest of the week giving up that advance. US Treasuries really very similar on the longer side of the curve. In the shorter dated bonds, the 2-year yield fell back down to test the July levels and has held there for the majority of the week. This week, we also saw gold and the other precious metals getting a tailwind, and gold has rallied almost $50 this week and is within $10 of $1,000, closing out the day relatively unchanged, having been as low as 985 earlier on today. Silver, a very similar story, even more impressive on the upside, pushed through $16 yesterday, and while it was down as low as 1582 and a half earlier on today, closed out the day well above $16 in really quite an impressive reversal of the day's losses, and just closing down marginally down on the day. The industrial metal complex has been mixed this week. The leader has been lead, which has really accelerated over the last 3 days and ran out of steam to a certain extent in here today. It is a little bit overextended in the short term, and the very consistent advance that it has been putting in for much of the last 4 or 5 months has gathered pace of late. So we might be in for something of a larger reaction, but as long as those progression of higher lows remain in place, we can continue to give this metal and indeed all the others the benefit of the doubt to the upside. With the currency markets, as I said, the dollar was a bit stronger earlier on this week, but spent most of the week giving up that advance, and it's a very much a similar story with the majority of the crosses. For example, the Australian dollar was stronger by a full cent in here today, as was the Canadian dollar, almost a cent and a half, and that's really reversing much of the decline that they had earlier on this week. Particularly, the Australian dollar remains very consistent in its advance against the US dollar, and the US dollar against the euro continues to range below this 145 level against the euro. And because it has very much been up one day, down the next with the dollar, particularly over the last month, we do need to see a number of days consecutively in one direction before we can really say with any high degree of confidence which way this currency is going to break out. What we also saw this week was that stock markets firmed really quite considerably in the latter half of the week as the majority of politicians and central bankers who were speaking moved to reinforce confidence. And what we can also see, and I'm going to post a large number of charts in comment of the day today, and looking through those, there are a large number, particularly of the better performing markets, really quite overextended relative to their moving averages. So that tells us not so much that this impressive advance, particularly since March, is over, but more that we are in its latter stages, that we're probably closer to the next larger reaction or consolidation than we are to the next major advance. But Because we saw the vast majority of stock markets firming in the latter half of this week, we are seeing that quite a large number of these indices are firming from the lower side of these very short-term ranges, and they are really quite firm. What we're also seeing is that mean reversion is taking place to a certain extent in a large number of these markets. China is the most notable example because it fell so very quickly and retraced to its mean in a matter of a month. Other markets have been ranging for much of the last 2 months, some of them even 3 months. Taiwan is a good example there, where it had a big drawdown in June and spent much of the time since rallying back up to test the highs and ranging below the highs. And the Korean market is maybe outperforming it to a certain extent. But then we look at markets, for example, like Indonesia and Malaysia. They're really quite overextended at this point. And while they remain consistent and the reactions to date have been really very shallow, we can't but look at that chart and say that they're overextended and in need of a pullback and consolidation of these gains, and that is really where the greatest likelihood is pointing towards. For lagging markets, particularly when we look at the S&P or the FTSE or the DAX, they are in the process of completing their bases. The challenge now is whether they can hold on to the majority of their most recent gains and move into a ranging consolidation, which will allow their moving average to catch up with them. So it will be a ranging reversion towards the mean, but it will form a first step above the base, which is generally a reliable continuation pattern that can push us into a more consistent trending environment going forward. What we can say with stock markets pretty categorically is that no globally significant stock market is making new lows. The vast majority of them have either broken upwards from their bases or are in the process of doing so. And that is a powerful indication of where we are in the investment cycle on its own. Now, we continue to see that there is a marked difference, or there is a complete two-speed type of environment in global stock markets, where we see that emerging Asia, commodity-producing Latin America, technology-led markets are outperforming in no uncertain terms. And lagging markets, which have been most affected by the credit crisis, which have had the greatest impairment by their banks, and usually these are countries that have the largest or the most dominant banking sectors, remain in very much a lagging position. Now, to an extent, we're seeing a catch-up advance in the short term, but that's a catch-up advance that is likely to be relatively short term, and leading markets are more than likely going to lead us out of any reversionary type activity that unfolds over the coming weeks and months, and that over time they will be the better performers by far through the course of the bull market that appears to be unfolding. When we look at a measure of just how stimulative the environment is at the moment, we can look at the spread between the 10 and the 2 year, and we see that that spread has widened out to such a level that hasn't been seen, well, was only seen before in 2003 and 1992, which were both really considerable recessionary type environments, which subsequently gave way to an impressive trending advance. We're not going to be in any kind of trouble with relation to that spread until it becomes inverted once more. And even when it does become inverted, the lead time for the next recession is more in terms of quarters than months. So we're in the early stages of a new bull market, and stock market performance already tells us where the better performers are and where they're likely to remain. And where we see the best performance in terms of countries is in Asia and in Latin America. In terms of the sectors, we see that resources are doing excellently, so are technology shares. And gold shares in particular have been leading the advance in terms of absolute performance since October. They had a big week this week, and with gold pushing upwards towards that $1,000 level and a growing cohort looking towards the gold market for the next big move to the upside, gold shares are beginning to outperform once more. They've been outperforming the gold price, which has been strong on its own since October, and there's further room for them to improve. Silver was also a very impressive performer this week, and platinum and silver are relatively undervalued compared to gold and have significant potential to outperform if we do see gold pushing above $1,000 and holding the advance and improving upon it, which is what we're expecting. Longer term, these gold shares are doing phenomenally well. They have led the market to the upside, and investors are beginning to take notice. And that's likely to continue for as long as the gold price looks to be in the process of pushing upwards to new high ground. They'll probably lose that massive outperformance when gold has had its move to the upside and moves into the next relatively lengthy medium-term correction type of range and consolidation, which is what we've seen over the last 18 months and seen on two previous occasions, both ranging consolidations that lasted approximately 18 months, with the majority of the decline coming early and the slow edging back towards the highs that subsequently occurred. And if we had a roadmap for what we would expect gold to do, it's probably something similar once more. So we could easily have a large acceleration out of this lengthy ranging phase, and a significant move to the upside, which will give way to the next lengthy consolidation of gains, which is likely to find support on the pullback above the $1,000 level. That is the roadmap I think the majority of people are expecting. Looking at it from the other side, gold really does need to hold above the $950 to $900 range if it's going to fulfill the potential that we've been talking about. If it were to take out the progression of higher lows that have been really quite consistent over the last 2 months, then we would have to take pause and start to think about the technical damage that had been done and perhaps begin to reassess the timing of this advance that we're expecting. But for the moment, gold is within $9 of $1,000. The all-time high is slightly above that, but not significantly so. And I think it's the $1,000 level the majority of people are watching. We are getting this move into the precious metals at an interesting time, because while we look at stock markets and say, yes, they're consistent by and large, and certainly the impressive advance that we've seen over the last couple of days has helped to shore up confidence in that particular market. But we are starting to see that people are increasingly looking towards potential safe havens, and gold is certainly leading the pack in terms of safe haven trades at present. The treasury markets and the dollar appear to be taking their cue from stock markets, whereas gold has, to a certain extent, plotted its own course over the last 4 or 5 days. And that's very impressive, and that's the kind of thing that we were looking for. But it's all to do with deflationary fears and the fact that so much of investor interest over the last 5 months has poured into stock markets, An increasing amount of cash has come off the sidelines, and carry trades have been put back on with gusto. And we are seeing that a large number of investors have become leveraged once more, and the carry trade system makes them sensitive to currency moves. And we see that people coming back from holiday are looking at this market and saying, well, what can I buy that hasn't already moved an awful lot? Gold is certainly in the lead in terms of things that have been really ranging for a good long period of time and hasn't taken part really in the stock market advance at all. And looking at the bond markets, well, bonds, there's no shortage of them around. There is a very good chance that the low we saw on the 10-year down at 2% was probably the low for the entire bond bull market. And we know that supply is going to multiply over the coming years, that governments are engaging in quantitative easing, which is basically diluting their currencies, diluting the value of investments, and there is significant potential for yields to rise as investors begin to demand a better return on their investment if they're going to be lending these governments so much of their money at such a paltry return. And one really would have to believe that deflation was going to be a very serious problem for a very long time to begin to give governments our cash for such a long period of time on the long end of the curve at such a very low rate. There is the strong likelihood that even though we see that economies are recovering just about everywhere at this point, and that commodity price inflation is a problem that we don't have today, but we do see that there is potential for that to evolve. Oil, which was relatively weak over the last 5 days, is down around 67, 76 as I speak, and is testing its progression of higher lows over the last month or so. But it continues to look as if it is consolidating its impressive advance to date with a view to improving upon that performance over the coming months. And it doesn't look like something that's going to go back down and test its lows. So while we can't put an end date on when we're going to see the next energy crisis and when we're going to see oil prices getting back up to levels where they pose a significant headwind to global growth, the chances are that we are going to get back towards that type of scenario at some point in the coming years. And we're unlikely to see inflationary pressures popping up in house prices or wages over the coming years, particularly in the OECD, well, actually, especially in the OECD. But that isn't going, so we're not going to have that part of the inflationary problem. The stronger likelihood is we're going to see inflation coming through in the commodity sector first. And we are at risk that central bankers and politicians, in their efforts to fall over themselves to attempt to reignite the confidence that's been lost in stock markets and financial markets generally, that they leave that liquidity in for too long. And there has been the justification that they were more interested with putting out the fire that was in the house today rather than worrying about the one that might be tomorrow. But certainly, if you've ever had a house fire, the first thing you go out and do the next day is buy smoke detectors. And what we need to start to see is that the policymakers from the major central banks are taking seriously the potential that they're creating an inflationary problem for investors and for the public at large. Politicians probably would welcome inflation at this point, given the amount of debt that they've taken onto their books and socialized from the banking sector. And inflating some of that debt away would certainly help their ability to pay it back. But we've got to be wary of that type of cynicism as investors. We don't have an inflationary problem today. We're not going to have an inflationary problem in the coming months. But we are certainly seeing that the potential seeds of an inflationary problem are being sown. And with the velocity of money at such low levels, the amount of liquidity that is floating around the markets is not something that is going to show up as an inflationary problem in the short term. But if the economy, the global economy, and local economies begin to pick up and into stronger growth, and it really does only take one of the major central banks to mess this up, and they don't remove the liquidity fast enough, then we could easily see an inflationary problem. And in that case, we would see government bond yields pushing up faster than many anticipate. We would easily see that commodities would be an outperforming sector over that time frame where inflation is a problem. Longer term, we know that we have an extra 3 billion consumers in the global economy today that weren't there 25 years ago. And the world is changing to accommodate them. The per capita consumption of commodities and consumables is going upwards. And with the demand rising, supply is struggling to maintain or to keep up with that demand, and we're starting to see that upward pressure is appearing in commodity prices of all hues. And that's a long-term trend. It will take significant innovation to allow supply to meet the demand that is out there as standards of living improve and come closer to approximating those that we take for granted in the Western world. And with that, there is massive room for the capitalization of these markets to increase. There will be whole new markets for goods opening up, and this is the big story that is likely to drive the bull market that appears to be unfolding in front of us over the coming decades. With the huge number of young people who need to be educated, housed, who need electricity, infrastructure in terms of roads, sanitation, health, then, and of course, jobs, we have a major bull market, both in terms of the way that those markets will expand to accommodate all of these new consumers, in the capitalization of their stock markets, in the economic growth that such young populations can produce, and in the commodities that they will be consuming to produce that growth. And these are major themes which have been stalled to an extent by the credit crisis, but certainly not derailed. And with stock market performance the way that it is going, are certainly garnering more attention today than they were 3 to 4 years ago. And people are looking at these markets and seeing buying opportunities. We are in new bull markets. Surprises will be to the upside, and the best buying opportunities will be following the inevitable reactions. And as long as we can monitor the consistency of these advances and be alert to when they begin to lose consistency, we will be able to stay with them for the long term without putting our own. We need to have the humility to allow the market to unfold without putting our own artificial restriction on it. It will take as long as it's going to take to for this market, for this secular bull market to unfold, and when it does reach a high, we will attempt to be alert to those signals. And certainly, as the collective grows and the experience widens, we have a better chance of identifying when we actually get to the end of this, what is going to be a long-term advance for a large number of these markets and commodities. And with that, I think I will leave you for the weekend and wish all the best to all of you.